It was verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7. First Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. It's about the 3 years peace between Syria and Israel. It says that. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the land of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?
Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that we get something out of this. I just pray that I can present this message in a way that you'd have me to present it. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now that you're guided and directed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Title of this morning's message, Is Not Here a Prophet? Is Not Here a Prophet? I want to talk to you this morning about two kings. The scripture that we just read, we see the king of Judah coming down to visit the king of Israel. Now, the king of Judah was coming down just to visit him. He wasn't coming down to fight a war or anything else. He was coming down just to visit. He wasn't planning on having to go to battle or anything like that. But the king of Israel was a guy by the name of Ahab. Ahab, he was such a wonderful, wonderful king. So here we see that, as you recall, Ahab, he was the one that had 400 prophets of Baal go up against Elijah up on Mount Carmel. And Elijah prayed heaven or fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And the 400 prophets of Baal all died. And we need to realize that this is the same Ahab. You know, the good old boy, you know what I mean? But you know, there's something that Jehoshaphat said that was not entirely true. I want you to look at verse 4. And you may want to underline that verse in there because you can use that in your own life. It says, And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Now, Judah was a country who worshipped God. Judah was a country that worshipped God. Israel was not. And you know, you're wondering why I said to underline that. You can use that verse as a separation verse. Okay, he's saying, you know what? I'm just like you are. My horses are like you. My people are like you. We're just like you are. We're just as worldly as you are. But that wasn't true. Because Jehoshaphat was a godly king. Jehoshaphat worshipped the king, the God of heaven, where Ahab didn't. But here we see Jehoshaphat, he wanted to look like everybody else. But that wasn't exactly the truth. Here we see that they were not, you know, like the people of Israel at all, even though they were blood relatives, you know, through the family of Abraham. There was a big difference between the two countries. And there was a big difference between the gods that they served. The king of Judah wants to inquire of the Lord if they should go to war or not. Now, this is a godly king. Jehoshaphat says, hey, we need to inquire of God. We need to find out what God is saying. Look at verse 7. He says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? What did Ahab do? What did Ahab done in those verses? He called what? 400 false prophets. He called 400 false prophets to come and give him advice on whether or not he should go and fight. And you know, all 400 were in agreement. They said, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and fight. You'll win. You go ahead. Yeah, you'll fight. But Jehoshaphat, he says, wait a minute, hold it. I don't trust these guys. I do not trust these 400 false prophets. Is there not a prophet of the Lord? That's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning. Is there not here a prophet? Is there not here a prophet? You know, Jehoshaphat wanted to know if there was really a true man of God in Israel or not. The first thing I see here is this. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Ahab was comfortable with these 400 false prophets. He was comfortable with them and what they were going to tell him. They did not want to rock the boat. They did not want to call what he was going to do sin. Ahab's wife had Nabal murdered and took his vineyard. Ahab had 400 false prophets of the false gods. He did not like the people telling him that what he was doing was wrong. You know, there's an awful lot of people like that in the world today, isn't there? You know, Ahab had one of the most wickedest wives ever to live in Jezebel. You know, if you take and you read the life of Jezebel, you'll see that she was not a very nice lady. You know, she had people killed. She had people's property taken away from them. And she worshipped as she pleased. These 400 prophets preached a social gospel. These 400 prophets preached a social gospel. You know, they did not preach sin was sin. They did not preach that the things that Ahab was doing was sin. They preached just what Ahab wanted to hear. They preached sunshine and roses. They preached their good and we're good. Everyone is good. Everyone's going to heaven. You know, do as you like as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Go where you want as long as you're doing it alone. Watch what you want to as long as you're doing it in the confines of your own house. You know, say what you want to say as long as the preacher's not around. Isn't that what them prophets were saying? You know, these prophets were being paid by Ahab to tell him exactly what he wanted to hear. He was being paid by Ahab to tell him what he wanted to hear. You know, there was not one of them that was preaching the word of God. Not one of them. They were preaching their own word. They were preaching what the world wanted to hear. They were doing what everybody else wanted to do. They weren't telling the truth. They were telling lies. They were getting their messages off the internet instead of going to the scripture and finding it in the scripture. Boy, there's an awful lot of preachers doing that today. Awful lot of preachers that do that today. You know, how many preachers do we have like that today who are not preaching the Word of God? They preach a social gospel telling people exactly what they want to hear. They're afraid to expose sin for what sin really is. You know, they're afraid to preach against adultery. They're afraid to preach against homosexuality. They're afraid to preach against abortion. They're afraid to preach against drinking and drugs. And they're afraid to preach about anything that's going to harm the body. They're afraid to preach against gambling and using your money for something other than what it should be used for. They're afraid to preach on how you should raise your children. And they're afraid to preach about the corruption that's in our public schools today. Listen, there's preachers today that won't preach it. Why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of what people are going to think. They're afraid of what society is going to say. They're afraid because they feel that if people get mad and they'll leave the church and never come back. I don't preach that way. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to preach sin, sin. I am. I'm going to preach what the Bible says. What a shame for preachers who have been taken and given a watered-down approach to God's Word. Can you imagine for just a minute what it had been like for the Apostle Paul to preach a watered-down message? You know, I don't think any of us in this room, including me, could sit underneath Paul's preaching. I really don't. After all, he started at 6 o'clock at night and went on till after midnight. Preaching, 7 hours. Never stopped. He had some things to say. You know, today, if we preacher goes over 15 minutes, people get upset. Not back then. You know, what a shame for preachers who have taken the watered-down approach to the Word of God. Is there not a prophet of the Lord? You know, someone who will stand up and call sin what it really is. Is there not a prophet of the Lord who will not knuckle under to popular opinion? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who will stand up and to these whoremongers and tell them exactly what they're doing is sin? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who will tell the truth of the Word of God? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who will stand for the old King James Bible? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who feels seeing souls saved is the most important thing in the world? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who's willing to stand alone on the hard issues of the Bible, even though others desert them and go a different way? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who will stay with him or with his wife even though they have problems? Is there not a prophet of the Lord who, when things look bleak and there are problems in the church, will stick with it rather than quit? Is there not a prophet of the Lord that will stand up to what God wants done in the church? I happened to read a post on Facebook from another pastor, and Melanie knows the pastor, and they had some problems in the church, and the pastor decided, I'm leaving, and they're going to Ohio, and you know who it is. And so they posted yesterday, and she said that they had sold their house, and somebody else posted from this other church, well, you haven't been hired here yet. And she said, that's okay, we're coming anyway, because we're not going to stay here. Well, listen, when things get going tough, the tough keep going. And even though there's things that go wrong in a church, the prophet has to keep going. He has to keep going. You know, here we see Ahab calling 400 prophets of Baal. And he says, I want you to give me some advice. Should we go and fight this war? And the 400 prophets of Baal said, yeah, go, you'll win. Go ahead, go, win. Yeah, you'll win, no problem. No sweat. Go ahead. Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? There was one. There was one prophet. Think about this. In all of the country of Israel, there is only one prophet of the Lord. One. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, it says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Woo. Oh, man. Guess what? Micah was not getting paid by Ahab. He wasn't on the payroll. King Ahab did not want to call this prophet because he was afraid of what he was going to say. He felt if he said the wrong thing, the king of Judah would not go along and help him fight this battle. King Ahab made it plain and simple that he did not like this prophet. He hated him because he preached the truth. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 16. 1 Kings 22, 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I acquire thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He did not like to have his sin exposed. Think about this for a minute. Here is the king of Israel, the very king of Israel. And this prophet, the only prophet of the Lord in all of Israel, and he was telling Ahab that his sin was wrong. And Ahab had 400 prophets of Baal on the payroll, telling him just what he wanted to hear, which was right. 400 against one. Let's do this democratically. All in favor say aye. 400 raise their hand. Opposed? One. You know, that's exactly what was happening. Ahab hated this guy. He hated him with passion. In fact, if he could have killed him, he would have. But the people wouldn't hear of it. Here we see that he was a thorn in Ahab's flesh, so to speak. He did not like to hear the things which he was doing with sin. You know, this prophet had a job to do which God had called him to do, and he did not care if the king liked it or not. He was going to preach what God told him to preach. Period. You know, we don't like what the preacher exposes to us that we're doing contrary to God's word, do we? How many times do you come to church and get your toes stepped on? Ain't me stepping on them, it's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, we feel that he writes a message just for me and me alone. And he's exposing all my sin right in front of everybody in the church. People feel many times. Yeah, I feel that way. I feel, why in the world are you preaching this message, preacher? You're talking to yourself. You know, these preachers make us feel when we leave that we should be paying for our sin debt instead of Christ. We feel that we do not deserve to go to heaven, that we should be condemned to hell for our sin. Isn't that the way we should be? We hate that preacher for stepping on our toes. Because we hate our toes being stepped on, we look for a different church. Ooh. A lot of people do that. A lot of people don't like preachers stepping on their toes. So they go, well, you know what? I'm going to find a church that is okay with my lifestyle. I'm going to find a church that it's okay to drink. I'm going to find a church that it's okay to do dope. I'm going to find a church that it's okay to commit adultery. I'm going to find a church that it's okay to do whatever sin you want to do. And believe me, you can find a church that will take it like that, and the preacher will never preach against it. Why? Because he's probably doing it himself. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. There's an awful lot of preachers today, believe it or not, that are walking a very thin line between righteousness and sin. I read an article the other day of a preacher that was just hauled in the last 2 weeks for sexual assault of a minor. The guy's 35 years old. The girl was 14. Listen, what we need to realize is that we need a prophet. But you know, here we see Micaiah. He was preaching what God had told him to preach. You know, because we hate getting our toes stepped on, many times we'll say we hate that church. We hate the people of the church. We hate everything that goes on with that church because I am offended. I got my feelings hurt by preacher or by somebody in the church. Why do people leave church? Why do people leave church? You want me to tell you? I'm going to tell you why. This isn't part of my message, but I'm going to give you another message today. How do you like that? We'll pass the plate again and everybody knows. Why is it people leave church? Pardon my expression, but they get butt hurt. They get butt hurt. But wait a minute. What caused it? Well, let's take a look a little bit at when Jesus was here. What happened when Jesus was here? If you go to John chapter 6, verse 66, you'll see that many of his disciples followed him no more. Many of his disciples. Why didn't they follow him anymore? Because they didn't like what he was preaching about. He was stepping on their toes. Just like Micaiah did. He was stepping on their toes. He didn't like it. Think about the night in the Garden of Gethsemane. What happened? Think about this for a minute. And while I was doing this message, I was thinking about this very thing. Why was it that the disciples fled? They were angry. Do you know why they were angry? They wanted to fight. They wanted to fight. Think about it. Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. I mean, these 12 were armed and they were ready to take them all on. What did Jesus say? Put your swords away. Put your swords away. We're not going to fight. They're here for a reason. They got angry. They were ready to go to death for Jesus. They were ready to fight. And they left because they got their feelings hurt. Man. You know, I got to thinking about this and I thought, isn't that the way it is with people in the church? Isn't that why they leave the church? Because they get their feelings hurt? For some reason, maybe it's what the preacher says, or maybe it's what somebody else says in the church. Oh, did you hear what Mrs. Storm said? I'm not going back to that place anymore. Mrs. Storm, she's so mean. Miss Nancy won't let me do anything I want to do. Amen, yeah. Listen. It was no different with Ahab. It's no different than with Ahab. He says, I don't want to listen to that guy. I don't want to listen to him because he never, ever, 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 ever says anything I want to hear. Woo! No different with the people who walk out the church. Don't come back. I'm not going back to that church. I get so convicted. Isn't that what church is for?
Yep, that's right.
Hey, I'm going to be right up front with you people. If you came in today to get your ears tickled, you came to the wrong church. Because I guarantee you ain't getting them tickled today.
That's right.
You know, he preached what God told him. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 17. It says, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Oh, man. Oh. Here we see Micaiah, he says, this is what God told me. He said, you can believe what you want to of those 400 prophets, or you can believe what I'm telling you now. The choice is yours, Ahab. You know, you will be defeated and the people will be scattered as sheep with no shepherd. You can take the message or you can leave it, but that's the way it's going to be. Period. You know, there's not always truth in numbers. Have you ever noticed that? There's not always truth in numbers. And if you don't believe me, look at the rioting that's going on. They think that they're spreading truth when they're not. They're spreading hate and discontent. What we need to realize is this, is it is hard to stand alone. It's hard to stand alone. Now, look at what he did. Micaiah said, hey, listen, you can listen to these 400 prophets and you can go into battle. You're going to get whooped. You're going to get killed. And the people are going to be scattered as without a shepherd. Or you can sit back and don't go to war. That's what he said. What did the 400 prophets say? Go, 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 go. You'll win. You'll win. Go ahead. Go. Ahab looks at Jehoshaphat and goes, see what I told you? He never tells me what I want to hear. Them other 400, they tell me, but he always tells me something different. I hate him. You know, it's so hard to be the only one that stands up for what's right. You know, what happened with Joshua and Caleb? Think about that for a minute. Okay, how many spies were there that went into Canaan?
12.
12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right?
Yeah.
Here we see Joshua and Caleb going into Canaan, and they come back, and the 10 go, "We can't do it. We can't do it. No, we just can't do it. We can't do it. Those guys are so big. We're going to get slaughtered. There's no way we can go in there." Joshua says, "Let's go, boys. Mount up. Let's go." Listen, the majority ruled there, didn't it?
Yep.
And what happened? For the next 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Everyone who was above the age of 8 died. Whoa. Why? Hey, the funny part about that was Joshua and Caleb didn't die. They were the ones that went in the promised land. Why? Because they stood alone. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They stood alone. Now, think about this for just a minute. Was there other people, were there other Israelites in that crowd that bowed to Baal? You bet there were. There were thousands of them. There's thousands bowing their head to Baal. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just standing there. The king was so mad. He had that furnace heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. People say that that furnace was red hot almost to the melting point of iron. That's how hot it was. And they took the 3 of them and they cast them in that fire. The Bible says it was so hot that it incinerated the guys that threw them in. But what happened? There were not 3 men, there was 4. The Lord was in the fire with them. Why? Because they're still alone. They're still alone. What about Daniel? What about Daniel? They passed a law that nobody could take and pray to any other god but what Darius' god was. Daniel went up and he prayed as he did it 4 times, 3 times a day. He prayed just like he always did. You know, here we see one prophet who is willing to stand alone because that's what God told him to do. Bang. But you know what? There's a cost. There's a cost for standing alone. Look at chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. And the king of Israel, good old Ahab, said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." You know, many times there's a price for standing alone. In verse 24, if you go back to verse 24, you'll see that they smote him about the face. They beat him up. Then they threw him into the inner prison, into the dungeon. They fed him with moldy bread and with water taken out of the sewer. He had done what God wanted him to do. He told exactly what God told him to say. He said what God wanted him to say, and he went where God wanted him to go, and yet there was affliction and pain in the process. You know, God never said that the road of a child of his was going to be smooth. He never said that the going was going to be easy. He did, however, say that he would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, even though we may be persecuted for the cause of Christ, we need to continue to do what we've been called to do as long as God calls us to do it. Period. But you know, God's word never fails. God's word never fails. Look at chapter 22, verse 28. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Verses 34 to 35 says this, and a certain man drew back a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said unto the driver of the chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in the chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. Think about this. Everything that was told to Ahab came true. The king lost the battle. Ahab died. The people were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Everything that he was told came to pass. Oh, if they would only listen. If they'd only listen. How sad it is when the children of God will not take heed to the warnings of God by what he has prepared by the man of God. Listen, when I stand up here and preach, it's not me preaching, it's what the Holy Spirit told me to preach. Why? Because there's somebody out there that needs this. Is not here a prophet? Is there a prophet in Florence? Is there anyone who's willing to stand up and preach the truth of God's word? Is there a man who will not fall to popular opinion? Or are we without a prophet who will do as God wants to be done? As long as I live and breathe, I'll be that man. I'm setting myself up, believe it or not, not as self-proclamation prophet, because that's the least I want to be, but I am setting myself up as a man of God. I'm going to do the work that God has called me to do here in Florence, Arizona, until he comes back or until he takes me home. What about you? What about you? Are you upset with the preaching of the Word of God? If so, you need to come to this altar and find out why. There's something in your life that's not right. You need to come and find out why it's not right. Are you willing to stand alone, even if it's not the most popular thing to do? If you need to make a vow to God today that you're willing to do whatever He wants you to do, if it's standalone, you need to do that. Are you willing to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ? If you are, you need to come and tell God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go wherever you want me to go. The Bible says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be there with us. We need to realize that all of us need to be like Micaiah. Even though he was the only prophet in Israel, because Ahab and Jezebel had all of the other prophets killed. They had them all slaughtered, every one of them. And he was the only one left. And Ahab wanted him killed because he wasn't telling Ahab what Ahab wanted to know. We need to realize that we need to do what God wants us to do in the way He wants us to do it. We may not be popular, but guess what? Someday we're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're faithful to the end. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for today. Thank You for all You've done for us. I just pray now that You'll be with this invitation. Father, there's a lot that we went through today. And I just pray, Father, that You would take and guide us and direct us in all that we do. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're the one who's upset with the preaching. You're saying, preacher, I get upset with you because of what you preach. I want to pray for you today that you might ask God what it is that you need different in your life to be able to take the preaching. Is there anyone like that today? I want to pray for you today. Anyone like that at all? Preacher, you preach too hard sometimes. And you step on my toes. Would you pray for me today? Anyone like that at all? Quickly, quietly. See that hand? Maybe you're here today and you're willing to say, you know what? God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone like that today? Just raise your hand quickly. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not even 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I would spend eternity. I can't remember a time or a place where I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you today. Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Father, You've seen the heart. You know the hearts. You've seen the hands. I pray for these, Lord, that want to do whatever You would have them do in their lives. Father, it's one thing to say that we'll do whatever You want us to do. We'll go wherever You want us to go. We'll say whatever You want us to say. But it's completely something else to actually tell You ourselves that that's what we want. Father, I just pray for these that have raised their hand that if they are really serious about this, that they'll come to the altar today and they'll get with You and let You know that this is what they want in their lives. Father, we just love You so much. Pray for those who are watching today. Maybe there's some watching today that this message has hit them. And they need to do what You'd have them to do. Father, I think of the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me in absolute way. Father, I pray now that You would
guide us and direct us. Be with this invitation, Lord. You spoke to the hearts. I just pray they come to this old-fashioned altar and they get it right with you today. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have you turn your hymnals to whatever one he's picking.